Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello. It's your old pal Richie Wilson doing this again. I'm glad we're doing this again. I love doing this again. I do love doing this podcast. I hope you still love listening. Well, you're there. If you didn't, you wouldn't be there, would you? Strange times. Still strange times. But, you know, we're getting through it. Let's not dwell on it. I hope you're well. I hope you've got enough toilet roll. I hope you're doing fine. Hey, it's good, isn't it? I really am. I love doing this podcast. This one and if Insane in the Membrane have really got me through all this shitty stuff. So I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen, and thank you all for your support. You're so lovely. It's so great. All the lovely messages you send us. Thank you to all the wonderful patrons. Thank you. We're going to be doing more stuff. We tried to do something last week. I don't think it really went anywhere. We're going to come up with other ideas. I know there's some people on there as well that I need to give. I said I'd have a chat with you one-to-one properly. I've got to do that. I'm really sorry I haven't. So I'll sort that out. And thank you to the five-star reviews. Thank you so much for your continual... This, the five-star reviews that we get. I said last week, I said this, that there was one-star review. Turns out it's not. Jade had a look. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, no, there isn't. There isn't. So, I don't know. The voices, man. I said this on the Fembrain. I was like, the voices get in your head, don't they? You can get in your own way. But they do. You don't need to. People love it. Stop being a dickhead. So, thank you to Gav Cross. Gav Cross, funny looking. I bet you're not. I bet you're well pretty. Gav Cross, and thank you, mate. Thank you for that. And yeah, do you know what? I try and be open and accessible. I try and be honest. I've had people say about, the language is a bit much sometimes, but that's how I speak, you know. You need a bit of colourful language, you know, and, you know, I try not to use the C word, but sometimes it's apt, isn't it, you know. There's a few of them about. So thanks, Gav. Thank you, mate. And we've got John27T. Loved the Heston episode. Thank you, mate. That's a good one, isn't it? Heston's a proper lad. He is. He's a fucking proper dude. Thank you, John. And then we've got Ben Newman, Jersey. Top notch, says Ben. Thank you, Ben. Pardon me. We've got Fat Boys. I got this wrong before, didn't I? This is Fat Boys. Fat Boys Wabs, isn't it? Fat Boys Wabs. It's not Fat Boys Swabs. Fat Boys Wabs. Insane. Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? I love it. I love doing it. And I love that you're there. Thank you very much. Bertie Ham. Hello. And it's honest, funny and clever. You're damn tooting it is. I want to be honest. I love being honest. It's the best feeling, being honest. Sometimes I upset people when I'm a bit too honest, but I'm doing my best. It's better than being a lying sack of shit like I used to be. So thank you. Thank you for that. And then we got Winners of Grinners. Oh, thank you very much, Winners of Grinners. Always personal and makes it relevant. I do my best. The one thing about talking about mental health, and this is a podcast about mental health. I know it goes off on all manner of things, and some people go, well, it's not really about mental health. I don't see the point in sitting here, us talking about our ailments and our disabilities and things like that. You know, it's talking about how we get over these things, how we embrace these things, and instead of making them feel like they're a difference and make us feel that we don't fit in, make them feel like they're a part of us, and we embrace them, and then we help each other embrace each other's bits and bobs And that's how we get through this. So it is about mental health at the end of the day. That's what we're trying to do without trying to... But done in a way that isn't serious. You know, sitting here all serious. Who wants to be serious? No one wants to be serious. So thanks, winners are grinners. And thank you to everybody. Please keep supporting the podcast. Please keep subscribing. Tell your friends, spread the word. And because without you, this is nothing. This is just me talking in a booth to producer Paul. And as much as we love each other, we could do this anywhere. So thank you. I don't know where this is going now. Thank you very much for all your continued support. You're all amazing. My guest this week is called 1990s Chris. He's a spoken word poet. We kind of connected through Instagram, and I was able to look at him. Fantastic. I just was just drawn to him instantly. I'm like, who's this? You know, because he talks about being queer, and this is a conversation I've not really had before. And he talks about being working class and queer, and talking about these. You know, this is a conversation that doesn't really come up. There's still a lot of work to be done for working class people. I think there's a lot of men out there, a lot of women, a lot of people in between. Everybody, we're all struggling to have these conversations, you know. And this will come up in the episode. You'll hear me stumble a little bit, because I don't know how to begin these things, you know. And me now introducing it, I don't know how to do it. So this is why I have these conversations with wonderful people that help me through it, and then help you through it as well. And then, you know, and this is how we get through. So so it was great to have him on. And he did us a wonderful thing. He gave us a piece of his work at the end of the episode, so do stay tuned for that. So coming up in a minute, 1990s Chris.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A podcast from producer paul.co.uk.
Good to have you on, man.
Cheers, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for your patience as well. We're changing the times on you. I really appreciate
that,
man.
I'm not up to much. I'm just writing away, so it's
cool.
Fine.
Cool. I was filming this thing today, stand up and sketch show. And
cool.
And I had to be Janine Haruni is a comedian. I was her dad. Had to be this straight laced dad. And it was good. It was good. So, but thanks. Nice. Thanks for coming on. And
thank you for having me.
That's my pleasure. I'm fascinated. I only know you through Instagram.
And then
looking into what you do, I'm like, yes, we need to have a conversation. Absolutely, we need to have a conversation. Firstly, I want to talk about your fuchsia suit. What a suit! That's something else.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
More people need to be brave.
I just always think it's just like, you might as well just have a bit of fun with it, aren't you? Like,
absolutely.
Like, I don't know. You can spend a lot of time just like, I don't know. I quite like when people just say, like, I like, when I put something on, I quite like people to just say stuff about it as well, to be honest. It's quite nice when you turn up somewhere and someone's like, oh, that's nice. And you're like, yeah, it was... Makes it worth buying, and you know what I mean? Otherwise, it's just boring, isn't it?
Well, it's not, even though we don't, you know, everyone's sort of like, look after yourself, you do what you want to do. It is nice sometimes for other people to turn around and go, you look fucking great. And it just, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I like that. And that, I saw that suit and it reminded me, I think I might have said this on here before, but talking about, you talk about being working class. And I remember being in Maidstone in Kent, and I remember turning up in the early, it was only early 2000s when I worked there, and I had a pink shirt on. Mm. And the fucking shit I got from the...
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's just a colour, and I like it.
It's such a funny thing. I find that really interesting that people get so like hung up on it, or like how could you wear that and things like that. And it's just like, I don't know. It just doesn't really mean anything, does it? Like,
no.
But I think it's funny. Like in working class communities, like that's always sort of been the way. Whatever I've worn, whether it's been a fucking pink two piece or just a band t-shirt, like someone's got something to say about it, so
always.
It might as well be something good in it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's interesting, like you say growing up in a working class environment, and I remember being into Bross in the late 80s, and I remember dressing like them, and I was used to shit myself if I was on my way, because I'd wear it to get to the station and then fuck off out of town. But I just used to be horrified, terrified, because I had Stars and Stripes shirt on and ripped Levi's and all that, and
yeah,
not a football shirt in sight.
it's funny, isn't it? I remember like sometimes I do dress quite out of there sometimes, but then sometimes I just really, that makes me feel really uncomfortable. It's weird, just depends on like the day or the time or whatever. But I remember once going to a gig in Birmingham. And I'd worn like fishnets under my like denim shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
I turned up like, and it was all fine because it was just like, you know, it's just a gig, so it didn't feel weird or anything. But after the gig, I was just in this takeaway, and my partner and my mates had just left to go like, I can't remember. They were like, right, we don't want a kebab, we're going to go to McDonald's or whatever. And I was like, right, I'm having a kebab, I'll have it here. So then I'm just sat there in a takeaway at like 2 a.m. in the middle of Birmingham with fishnets on, waiting for my kebab. And I didn't really notice that I was doing that like up until the point they left. And then I was just like, right, I'm just on my own now in this kebab shop with fishnets on. And like...
Suddenly felt exposed.
Yeah, and then I got all really defensive and weird about it, because like people were just looking, but obviously people are going to fucking look. Do you know what I mean? Why did I put them on in the first place? Like,
yeah, well, that's it. It's that. I get it with my missus, Jade. She's a larger lady, flamboyant in her attire. And I keep saying, and she's always getting into arguments on trains and things like that. And I'm like, babe, you're going to get looked at. You're dressing differently to 90% of the population. You're going to get looked at. You're going to get funny looks for all manner of reasons, because people like it, because people feel threatened by it, because people are envious, you know.
Definitely.
You don't know people's stories, so you've just got to just shrug and just go with it, you know. And like that in the kebab shop, like you say, easy for me to say that now, you know, I wasn't in that position. And I imagine had I been in that position, I'd have been the same.
Yeah.
And
it's weird. I think you second guess what people are thinking, and I think like
your insecurities kicking, don't they? And
yeah, definitely. And like, yeah, I think that's funny about you saying about on the train and just getting in arguments with people. My dad's terrible for it. Like, he's like really tattooed. So is my mum. They're like tattooed, like, you know, all over.
Brilliant.
And like, obviously, people look. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he fucking hates it. And like, I remember being like 16, walking around like on holiday or something. I'd like stretched ears, and like I'd like was dressed in like, you know, I was a little punk kid, so I'd like had like this little red mohawk and everything. And people obviously like look, and they're a bit like, oh, what's that? And he's just walking along this street, like staring everyone out that's staring at me. And I'm like, this is lovely because you're being protective and nice, but also this is just fucking mental, like. We're not going to get anywhere like this. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's it. It's that you've got, it's all on you, isn't it? To have the confidence to go, yeah, I'm wearing this. Yeah, people are going to look at it. This is what I look like. And I know I look different to other people. And it's only been in the last few years that we've started to make those changes. You know, that people are starting to be more, you know, they're more accepting of people that look different, you know. And because when I was growing up, anyone that was gay that was on the television, there was always a comment, and they were always kind of like a caricature, you know? Uh-huh. It was always over the top and overly flamboyant. And I suppose, I think that's what interests me in you as well. You were talking about being, about queer and being gay and bisexual and those things.
Yeah.
And talking about being working class and so not over, not like a caricature.
Yeah, it's weird that I was like, the caricatures have like definitely sort of they've fucked with me a bit over time, like like for sure, like it was sort of, I just never felt like I connected to that at all, and I don't think a lot of people do, because it's just this ridiculous sort of character that I've not really met anyone, you know, like those sort of,
yeah,
that sort of campness you get on sort of Carry On and stuff like, yeah, that, which is like beyond campness, so it gets like straight again, which is just mental. But
yeah,
like it's weird, because yeah, I felt really disconnected from it, and that was always the sort of, that would be the most sort of, that would be the closest to a working class sort of queer representation I would get growing up. So it's weird, because I just didn't connect with it at all whatsoever, and it sort of just makes you feel really separate from that, because I grew up in a rural area as well, so like, you know, it was like even more so. Like, I think in a city maybe you get to see people a little bit more in real life.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But in a rural place, I was like, well, that's what, you know, being gay is like. And you know, like, just because everything that's around you and everything that people say about it, you kind of, you learn to hate it as well. Even if it's a part of you, you know, you learn to think like, oh yeah, because I had all these weird feelings about sort of, you know, being like, well, I'm a bit like that because I'm bi, so that's, yeah, a bit a part of me, but also like that's absolutely not me at all. So I was like, who am I supposed to look to? Like, who am I even now that there's not really much representation around it, because I don't know, there's not very many, particularly like, I don't really like the term straight acting, but like, you know, like blokey sort, yeah, of queer men that are working class, there's like, there's just not really many about. So I thought, you know, I better start talking about it a bit.
No, that's good. Yeah, well, yeah, this is, like you say, growing up, it was very unusual. You know, I'm trying to think of any examples growing up where there was someone that was, I know that there was, that wasn't growing up, I was in very recently, in, I think the film was called London Boulevard, and it's Colin Farrell and,
right,
and what's his name, Ray Winston is in it, and Ray Winston, uh-huh, plays this gangster, and he, part of his character, what they say is that what he'll do is that he'll get older men and then he'll fuck them,
right, yeah,
as part of the interrogation thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was, yeah, like, yeah, and but it's things like that. It's like, yeah, there wasn't anyone. It's only been in a couple of recent years that people have been going, yeah, I'm gay, so fucking what?
Yeah,
and I don't have to wear a tiara to fucking show you.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because I think it's really hard to like sort of push against that without saying, without people thinking you're saying, well, you can't be like real feminine or whatever, because obviously you can and that's fine. And
yeah,
like, I think it's just, I think that in that sort of working class sort of environment, there's just no opportunity to say that or to kind of occupy those kind of space. Because talking about films and stuff, I remember seeing is it called Legend? What's the one with Tom Hardy with Ronnie and Reggie Craig?
Oh yeah, yeah, Legend.
Yeah. So I remember seeing that and thinking, like, fuck me, like, you know, one of the Craig twins is gay. Like, that's mental.
Yeah.
And like that, do you know what I mean? That shouldn't be like a highlight of my representation. Do you know what I mean?
I'm like, violent psychopath.
It's a pretty fucking bad one.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there must be others.
It's funny, isn't it? And I think the more I've spoke about it, and like, especially like, I wrote a piece for BBC Sounds called Erasure Island about all of this invisibility and stuff, and that you can't really see it, and it's specifically like about a bisexual experience. And once I put that out there, like, I just spoke to like so many people that just would like talk to me at shows, at gigs, or like message me and stuff and just be like, do you know what, this is me too, and like,
yeah,
like, there's not really anything about like this, so like, thanks for it. And that just felt really powerful, because I just really, you know, I made something that I would have needed a few years ago.
Well, yeah, like, basically, you say, it's not there, so fuck it, I'll make it myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's funny. I've talked about this before. I worked in a gay sauna early 2000s, and my mate used to go to this sauna, and I needed a job. And he went, he goes, "Yeah, I need staff in this sauna, get a job." I went, "Yeah, brilliant." And then he said to me, he goes, "Don't tell him you're straight." And I was like, "Why?" He went, "Oh, it might be a bit funny. Just don't tell him." So yeah. I had to pretend I was gay. And
nice.
And I'd never been gay before, so I didn't know what I was doing. And and I ended up, I had an experience with this fella who actually paid me some money to do, we did some stuff. I actually talk about it on stage now. I did a show about it. And a lot of the guys used to come into the sauna. They were men, like blokes with dirty hands from the building site. You know, they'd park the van around the corner. Some of them were married and they were doing it, you know, they were sneaking around, which was a shame that they still felt they had to do that. And I did that show, I did it in Edinburgh, and I had people coming up to me afterwards going, "Someone that sounds like you, talking about getting sucked off in a sauna by a fella, has really helped me out." So I get it.
Powerful, isn't it?
Well, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really powerful. And like, which is odd because it doesn't feel like it really should be that revolutionary or anything.
No.
But, you know, it is because it's so often like just, you know, like it's the butt of the joke all the time, isn't it? And like, it's mad. But I can't imagine, like working in a gay sauna must have been like pretty revealing. That's pretty mad. Like that's quite an interesting window into the world.
Yeah.
Quite an extreme one.
Well, that was it. Talking about extremes, this was full on. Yeah. And I saw some stuff, man. And because, you know, up to that point, I was never really sure. I was like, am I gay? I don't know. Because I never felt like I fitted in. And now I'm older, I kind of go, no one feels like they fitted in. No one really. We don't fit into this societal system. We're all really different, and we've all got other shit going on. And I think that's where a lot of mental health problems come from.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think that sort of thing of like trying to, you know, find your role models and trying to work out where you fit in with it. Like, it just, like, I find like particularly like being sort of, you know, like I've pretty much predominantly had female partners. So I've always sort of felt like there's this part of it where I'm like, oh, am I lying to myself a little bit or whatever? And you like second guess yourself all the time on it.
Yeah.
Because you've got this other thing about you. And it's just like, it's weird that you question it that much, I think. But it's just because there's no what, you can't really see anyone else living it.
Yeah.
In a way that it's just like there. So you're like, yeah, that's fine. I don't have to worry about that so much. But the amount of anxiety and sort of pressure you put yourself on under and like that you don't, that whole kind of, because you're right, like not, people don't seem to, I think everyone feels like they don't fit in really, but when it's that sort of thing, you don't, when it goes really internal, like it's like, oh, I don't even know if I fit in with myself. That's almost how it feels. Like you can't work out which way. And yeah, like that, I've definitely really fucking worried about everything like that stemmed from that massively. Like it's weird. Like I definitely feel more comfortable in the sort of company of women and stuff like that for lots of reasons, but that was one of them, that, you know, that sort of thing, you know, being queer as a working class person, like working class women just don't really give a fuck, like they just don't care, like it's just not a thing. And like lots of working class men don't actually care, but they feel like they have to pretend they care because they don't want anyone questioning them. It's a really weird fucking thing, because I definitely think that working class people are definitely like way more accepting than other sections of society, because, you know, you mix with so many more people, like doing the jobs you do, all that stuff. Like, you know, you talk to so many more people, so you just get used to it. You know, people are different. Like, you don't have a weird little strata of your dinner parties and all that. And, you know, it just doesn't happen, does it? So
no,
it's like, it's funny, like they're really accepting, but there's this sort of like, kind of this really strange thing where people have to sort of act like a certain way. Like when I used to work in a factory, I used to find this thing of where I would like be talking to the lads that work there and stuff, and they just sort of default to like pretending they don't really like their missus that much.
All
the time. And I'm like, it's so weird. I'm like, you obviously fucking love her. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you've been with her 3 years. You got like, you got a kid on the way. Like, what? Mm. Like, I mean, if you don't like her, you're a mug, aren't you? What are you doing?
Yeah, but, you obviously like her enough to make a baby with her.
Yeah, it's just really odd. It's just a really odd thing, like, that they would just... Because it's so transparent that, you know, they really care about that person or whatever. But there's so many things like that. I remember just talking to those blokes that work there. It's just so revealing. Like, if you question them on anything, they're just sort of like, you know, they're just... Like, if you talk to them about it, they'll get to a point with you where they, you know, you're on the same page most of the time.
Mm.
Like, it's really interesting. But before that moment, they're just spouting off at you most of the time. Like, just, you know.
Total defense mechanism. And
yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I absolutely know what you mean. And it's unnecessary. You know, like, just relax. Yeah. Just relax. It's all good. Don't worry. Just because I've worked with loads of people like that. And, you know... They just will not. A lot happens. It's always they always go to football and then I don't follow football, so they don't have anything to talk to me about, and so they just sort of they don't know what they're doing. Then they start to puff up and then they start slagging off the missus, and they start doing. And I'm like, just we'll find something else to talk about. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just finding those connection points and like they don't like. There's not much within working class masculinity where you can show that. Sort of vulnerability that you just actually really want that person to like you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's it. That's literally it.
Like, that is, it's so, I find it fascinating because, like, I just, yeah, those conversations on a shop floor or something like that, just, they're mad because you can go from football 1 minute to sort of like immigration the next, and you're like, oh, hang on, where's this going?
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell. And then you're back round to something else. And it's just, yeah, I mean, it's all about them just trying to find. You're just trying to find that point of which you're sort of like connected. But for me, it's, you know, I definitely like, it's an interesting world into it for me, because I've like so many times I get told like these really like sort of horrific, like homophobic opinions that are really strong and like ingrained and stuff. And I'm there just like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
I wonder when I should say.
By the way.
It's just really interesting. Like, I just drop it in randomly all the time, just about anything. And it's just, you're there like all of a sudden like, oh, fucking hell. And like,
yeah,
I find it really interesting. I wrote a short film about it. And like exploring it in that sense and making the film was really interesting, because like I thought that I was like really done with the whole thing, like it didn't affect me anymore. But when I was making the film and having to go through it and recreate sort of the situation a bit, like it actually felt really emotional. It really got to me, because I was actually, do you know what, like there's so many times I've been having this like all right conversation, getting to know someone, and then they've dropped something in like that, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, did you have to do that? Like,
I was really starting to like you then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah. It's weird.
But there's also that assumption that this is the conversation that's happening a lot more now about people that are, you know, bisexual. And there's that assumption, there's always that joke, oh, greedy.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've ever heard like you saying that, you know, you're uncomfortable with it. Like, you're not uncomfortable with it, but you were like, you know, you're with a girl, but you know, you weren't sure. And there's that assumption that you can either go, I could just be with a woman, I could just be with a man. Whatever's easiest. And it isn't like that, is it?
No, you can't let it go. It's really weird because you feel like you're being unauthentic to yourself, which is a weird feeling for sure. Like, but that whole greedy thing is quite funny because it's like it's the joke that people do when they like want to tell you they're all right with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny because you're like I've racked my brains over this whole thing for like years, mate, and like you're just putting it down to me like, oh, I could fuck everyone if
you
I
could just
to.
Fuck whoever regardless of gender, whatever, you could just step outside and stick your cock in something and that
it's weird because it's not like that at all. Like, it's I'm like definitely the pool of people which you could fuck does definitely go down a bit when you say you're queer. Like, for sure. Like, not because, you know, not because people are like particularly sort of horrible or anything, but it's just there is definitely like an interesting kind of preference. There's a weird thing that women have about men that would sleep with men or do sleep with men,
right?
Which that's one of the things that I've always found it quite hard to square away in my head. Mm. And sort of, that's like, of all the things like that could make me feel weird and sort of emasculated and shameful, like that's probably one of the main ones, which is quite interesting. But then, I don't know, I heard once, you know, like Amber Rose has that sex podcast.
Yes.
So she identifies as bi and stuff. And on that podcast, she was talking about how she wouldn't sleep with a man who slept with men.
Right.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah.
Like, I really didn't expect it. I didn't expect that to be the way of the conversation. I was like getting geared up for this conversation that was going to be really like validating for me and really lovely. And I was like, thank fuck someone said it. And like, almost like it would put my mind at rest a little bit, which is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no, I get
do you know
it.
What I mean? You just need that stuff in your life, don't you? And then, yeah, I was like, heard her be like, oh yeah, no, I just wouldn't, just not for me. And I'm like, fuck. Okay. Like, that's even someone who's thought about it a lot is by themselves or whatever, has still got this like thing about it. But then, you know, all phobias get really internalized, don't they?
Like, yeah, but it's funny, isn't it? You'd think, like you say, she identifies as bi, but has a problem with somebody else that is bi.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
That. And I mean, yeah, it just comes down from thinking blokes fucking blokes is gross, isn't it?
Like, yeah. Isn't that? I'm bisexual, but I'm homophobic at the same time. What?
Yeah, but that happens loads. And I think, like, you know, like, that's... it's weird, like, certain queer spaces and stuff, you can feel really unwelcome in.
Really?
Yeah, which is odd. Like, not loads of them, but, like, sometimes you can. And it's just, sort of... It's weird, sort of, like, spending time with just, like, with men that are just gay and stuff. Like, some of them are really sound to just get it, but you get the few that are a bit like, you're just gay, really, aren't you? And you're like...
Right.
You can sort of tell that they think that, even if they don't say it. It's a bit weird, or they just treat you like this a bit different. But maybe that's my own insecurities about it. Maybe it's just like, you know, that's happened a couple of times and I'm kind of putting it on other people. But, yeah, it's tricky. I think it's weird to find your space and where you are. And I think the whole class thing, interacting with that, it just adds another whole weird fucking dynamic, which is just confusing.
Yeah, but all of it.
Yeah.
You look at it, you go, why are we still having these conversations? Why do we have to still have these conversations? Everybody, your sexuality is irrelevant. Who gives a fuck who you want to make love to? It doesn't matter, does it? It's like, and in the class thing, yeah, I mean, the class thing is different. But this is a very recent conversation that's starting to happen about, you know, voices like yours talking about being bisexual, talking about gender, talking about pronouns and things like that. And this is the thing, this is why it's tricky for you, for people that are starting these conversations, because you don't know how to start them. I know I had Jordan Gray on a couple of weeks ago. She's a trans woman.
Yeah, I know Jordan.
And even that, I'm trying to get the conversation started. I'm like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, you know? It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really tricky. I think like gender particularly is really difficult to talk about because it's so like ingrained in everything that we do all the time.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And like, it is a really hard conversation to have with people. Like, I definitely like... One of the things I've always tried to do is always be like, I definitely have like put my life in this course of the way, like I live in Bristol now. I've got like a bubble of like people that like, you know, are really sound about everything. So I don't really have to think about that all the time. But I like, I've still like got all my old mates still. Like I haven't like cut any of the ties from back home because I'm like from Hereford originally. So right. Small little rural market town. And I've always sort of just not hidden anything about myself to them ever. Mm. So like, it's always been really open. And it's sort of like now where I'm like in those spaces, I talk to my family about stuff and they're like pretty cool about chatting about things. They'll ask lots of questions and it's fine. So those conversations I have, but they can be really hard because I can like go in, you know, like see like a relative or whatever for like a cup of tea or whatever. We'll get like halfway into the conversation and then they'll ask me something about something. And then like 3 hours later, I'm like, yeah, they just use they them pronouns, yeah, like that. Just right. That's all you need to know. So you don't need to worry about it any more than that. Just yeah. Like that's just what they do, and that's fine.
That's what they want. Just do it.
It doesn't really matter to you, does it? But it's funny, people hold on to gender in a way that they don't hold on to sexuality. But I think it's because maybe what I normally get when I tell people I'm bi is they're like, oh yeah, if they're women mainly, they're like, oh, I could imagine myself with a woman maybe if things have gone a bit different. They can like put themselves in the situation. But I think with gender stuff, it's a lot harder to approach as someone who hasn't had to think about it themselves.
Well, yeah.
And it's just tricky because I thought about gender a lot because of sort of how I just think it like interacts with my sexuality, what it means to me and all that stuff. And like, I don't know, I think it's really tricky to get people to talk about it in a way that isn't them just being like, well, boys are boys and girls are girls, aren't they? Because they freak the fuck out. I don't know why. Yeah. It's just scary, isn't it, to them? And I think that's the one where people are still like people are pretty cautious about what they say about people's sexuality. Like they don't try to really upset people on the whole. But I think there's a lot of people about like gender, trans identity and stuff where they're just like, fuck them.
I think it's fear, isn't it?
Terrible.
It's fear, isn't it? They don't understand it, so they're scared of it. And this is, like we said, it's a very recent conversation that we've started to have. So there's also that assumption that, right, now we're having these conversations, everything should be changed overnight. They go, no, it doesn't work like that. We're making a start.
Yeah.
It's going to be rocky, but we will, at least we're doing it, you know.
Definitely. That's definitely it, isn't it? Like, but I do think there's this thing which is really interesting that I find, and it just shows like, I think it shows like insecurity, and it shows how like fragile I think as men we can be for sure, is that a lot of the time when you do talk about that stuff, like any of it, it just gets like that person you're talking to about it, they start to feel a bit as though like you're attacking like them being a man, and they're like, they're not allowed to do that anymore. And I'm just like, that's such an interesting argument. Like, oh, can I not just be a bloke? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
You do what you want.
No one's saying you can.
They're not taking it away from you, mate.
They're just giving extra options.
Other people are just going, actually, I don't actually feel like this thing that I've been given, this gender that's been bestowed upon me. I don't actually feel like that. I feel like this. And then, do you know what? Sometimes I don't even feel like that. I feel like something else. I feel different all the time.
Exactly. It doesn't take very hard to like look at how like, you know, like what you do with this podcast is great. It gets, you know, men to talk about their shit, and you know, it's awesome. But like the fact that it exists and that we have to and like make people talk about stuff, like otherwise we're just these sort of weird, rigid, like unemotionless things that like, you know, like love is shown by like money in a birthday card and like a pat on the back. Do you know what I mean? It's like, here's a tenner. Like, I'm never going to tell you I love you.
Here's a tenner just to show it. My token goes this far. It's funny. Like, you're right. Yeah. Go on.
It's just weird because I just think like that obviously shows that we're constrained by our gender. So it makes it harder for us. You know what I mean? We're like fucking, you know, like loads of us are fucking killing ourselves because of it, and you know, but when people start to question it to give you a bit of option of a bit of freedom, you're like, oh fuck no, don't open the box.
I've spent 40 years putting this in the box, I don't want to get it out again.
Yeah, I've just about like swallowed it down, so don't fucking make me talk about it.
Yeah, don't do this to me now. Oh, I'm gonna punch someone in a Wetherspoons. It's my parents are very open-minded, but I was still brought up in the old, you know, the old framework, the old constructs, the old, you know, blue for a boy, pink for a girl. And I find myself now, part of the reason why I do this podcast is not just helping other people, it's helping me understand more and ask questions more, like that, having the conversations about pronouns and the word queer, you know, when I was growing up, that meant you were gay, and it was a slur, and it was like, oh, you fucking queer. And but now it's kind of been like you're taking ownership back of it, or it's actually this is what, so to be queer, I'm still not 100% sure what that means.
Sure. Okay. So for me, I can only really answer for me. But, yeah. For me, what I would say is that I think bisexual is my sexual identity, so to speak. That's, you know, how I see myself that way.
Yeah.
But I use the kind of term queer to describe myself because it's like, I think it's like a connecting, quite political term. So it's like, if I say that about myself, I'm linking myself to lots of other people that also say they're queer.
Right.
So I feel that, you know, if I just say I'm a bisexual man, that kind of, you know, it means that my experience and my outward experience to other people is a little bit, I feel like it's limiting just calling it that. Whereas if I say, you know, I would say I'm like a queer bisexual man. So saying that, for me, like, makes me link with other people that identify with that term queer, because I think it's a connecting tool. It's a umbrella that we can all sort of get under together. So if I say, you know, I'm queer, that means that it's meant that I'm noticing the similarities that I would have with, you know, a trans woman or a lesbian woman, or, you know, like all these other types of people within that. There's, I think, like, kind of queer is quite, for me, it's quite unifying, and it's just a bit of a, like, it's just a bit of a fuck you to, like, you know, like, having to have all these separate stratas of things, because it's just like, I don't know, it's just bollocks, isn't it? We're just like, we're all just people at the end of the day, and, like, just, I don't know, it like, for that's how it feels to me. It's like a rejection and a way to connect with other people that reject it. So it's more that we're connecting over the rejection than
I like that
what we actually get up to.
I love that, connecting over the rejection. That's great, man. And that, and unifying. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah,
bringing people together, making people feel more accepted in the world, especially as it is now. It's fucked. And now more than ever, it's fucked. I'm no scientist, but it's fucked. And we need to be coming together and, like you say, unifying. And things like gender, things like pronouns, things like that shouldn't even be a thing. We shouldn't even have to be talking about it. You know, there's other things to worry about. It's like, that should just be a given. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not even a problem. It's like, that's you, that's me, this is us. But,
it's funny, isn't it? Because I end up talking to people about it a lot, and I'm just like, I don't really have loads to say about it. It's a pretty open and shut case for me. Mm. Like, I'm like, it's just fine, isn't it? Just get on with it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, I end up having those conversations with people from where I grew up, and people, you know, that you had those that, you know, I do have that conversation with them, and it, for them, it can be really quite powerful and, you know, important to have. And for me, it feels really like, you know, it's fucking hard work. It's like, it's, you know, it's like you just keep going over it. But I do it as much, I talk about that stuff as much as I talk about, you know, not fucking hating Polish people as well. Like,
yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
It's like, I don't know. It's interesting, but, like, I just think that, like, there's so much that we, you know, As working class men, you just try to fucking hold on to anything you can for a bit of self-respect, I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
And if that is that you're not this fucking namby-pamby fucking, you know, like, just, like, soft person.
Yeah.
Like, that's your thing to hold on to, so you do. Which I kind of get, but obviously it's weird because it just, that's a much more sensitive position to have, and a much more, like, kind of, like, like, I don't know, it's just funny, in it, that the rejection is that people are too soft and sensitive, and your way of reacting against that is by being really sensitive and reactive to everything anyone fucking says that isn't to do with you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's such an odd way of, like, being like, oh, I don't care about nothing fucking matters to me, but please don't do that because it upsets me.
Yeah, like, yeah. All right, mate. Well, you go. It's, you know, it's that, yeah. I had that.
It's so funny.
Steve Hughes, comedian Steve Hughes, got his brilliant bit about, he goes, gay people get a lot of stick. And he goes, you know, a lot of, you know, gay men, they fuck men. There's nothing there's nothing more manly than that.
Yeah, and, I've heard that, yeah. It's great.
It's a great bit. And you're like, yeah, fucking right. You know, goes, you little pussy vaginas. It's things like that, like, you know, Steve Hughes being this, you know, this Australian, like, bloke.
Mm.
But when you get to know Steve, like, he grew up in this small town in the middle of nowhere and they had to make their own entertainment. And so for him to have that worldview is impressive.
Well, this is the thing. I think, you know, like, I can't remember who said it, but it's something about, like, you know, like, very intelligent working class people that grow up in isolated environments that then get really super educated and whatever. They're like the most dangerous fucking people to, like, you know, they're like, you know, the fucking powers that be. So, and I definitely find that, like, from moving from a small little rural town where, you know, lots of people were racist openly and homophobic and stuff like that. I've moved to Bristol now, big city, where, you know, I encounter it less, but not that much less, really.
No.
Like I just, you know, it's more that I got more people to choose from of who to spend my time with. So I don't really have to put up with, you know, Johnny from down the road who fucking goes on about, like, the army all the time and how, like, you know, like, and he's got this idea about, like, nationalism or whatever. Like, when you're in a little place, you put up with that shit. You're just like, yeah, that's fine, mate, whatever. And, like, yeah, it's funny because, like, I don't know, those ideas get so connected up to stuff that when you're in a small place, you can understand why it's like that. Like, yeah. I definitely could get it, like, for sure. But in a big city, you're like, fuck me, you've had all this opportunity to not be a knobhead still are. Like,
yeah, like, that is some weapons-grade knobheadness. Well done. You really dug your heels in.
It's funny, isn't it? So I do think there's, like, there's this idea that, like, small town sort of mind and stuff like that means that there's no people there that are, you know, are sound and, you know, like, up for, like, difficult conversation. But most of the time, they just don't use the same language as, you know, like, the, like, liberal elite, I think, a lot of the time. That's a part of the problem, I think, sometimes, that I think people get into this idea that, you know, like, people that are very accepting but sometimes find the language a little bit difficult, that they're just being difficult. And I think, actually, no, like, it's not always like that, really. Like, language is super important,
definitely.
But, you know, but it's, like, it's sometimes, I think you can have a bit more patience around it and see where someone's coming from. And a lot of the time they're actually just being like, yeah, I just don't really get it.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, here it is. And then, like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot around the pronouns conversation.
Yeah.
And they're all like, well, what's wrong with just being he and a she? You know, you're just attention seeking. Like, where were these pronoun conversations, you know, a couple of years ago? You go, we weren't having them and now we are. And this is how it is. And so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
if someone wants to be a they, them, or a he, she, it's up to them. You've just got to be accepted. It's not encroaching on your life in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I think as well, this is thing that, like, I think about it quite a lot sometimes when we have a conversation where you're like, is it really that important that you know someone's gender to be able to, like, speak to them? Like,
yeah.
I think this is definitely a thing, like, where, like, people just, I want to just know where I am at with it. And you're like, well, you don't need to know. Like, if you're treating men and women, like, just to make it a simple conversation, like, if you're just treating men and men and women really differently, what are you up to anyway? Like,
yeah, what are you doing?
Like, I don't know, like, do you know what I mean? I just, like, if you're, like, you know, like, it's like you're going to fucking, you know, going to chat to a bloke about football and ask a woman to make you a cup of tea. Like, what?
Exactly. Like, that's what it is. Old-fashioned sexism.
That's what it is.
I need to know your gender before I can embark on a conversation with you about certain topics now.
Yeah. How much respect am I going to give you?
Yeah, exactly. It just boils down to that respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a bird or are you a geezer? Where can we go after that? Yeah. Fucking hell.
It's funny. Am I going to shag you or fight you? Which one is it?
I mean, that's what it is. I've talked about that before where I don't know, I'm only speaking from my experience as being a dude. And
sure.
And you get this, you know, you got the animal brain when you first meet someone, and you got that little animal brain, this tiny voice just goes, can you eat that? Can you fuck it? What are we going to do with that? And then your civilized side of your brain goes, no, that's a person.
Talk to it
like a person. What's wrong with you? You go, yeah, but I want to eat it. Well, fuck it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you got all that shit going on in your head. And this all goes on in like a split second of meeting someone.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men, like I said, I'm only going by my experience. A lot of men, that's what men are dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. I like that whole thing of like, I wrote this poem that I always used to make people react quite like sort of one way or the other. It's about walking like down a road and looking at a woman, and like just like it's about all the shit that you think about when you just see a woman that you think is attractive, and like you're like just your like natural like male gaze that just happens, and you're like, you like there's like that animalistic instinct about it that people are fucking petrified of talking about.
Yes,
that you have that you're like, you'll see someone that's fit and you're like, oh, I want to fuck them, and like you get like really like about it, like proper like blokey about it, and like that's in your head for like a couple of seconds, and then you're like, I'm now gonna carry on walking up the road because that's just fucking mental to think about, isn't it? And it's the same with loads of stuff like that, and I think that's the kind of like joy of like, for me at least, with like kind of writing and putting stuff out there, and like the comedy I like does this as well, where that you're kind of, you explore that little bit, like just before you have your like your actual like your civilized thought about it. Because it's the thing with all that stuff, like where most of those, you know, we've talked a little bit about those conversations about sort of where you go back and forth with people that they're really touchy about the pronouns, but it happens with the like Black Lives Matter movement as well. People are like super like fucking, you know, they like really get defensive about the fact that, you know, all the lives matter.
Oh, I know. Shite. Yeah. Of course they do. You're not listening.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's that thing where like it made me look, all that, the language around that stuff and all the stuff people were talking about made me really look like really inwardly about like some of the like fucked up thoughts I have that are definitely racist that I've learned from just being a person in the UK.
And having the education
I've had and all that stuff, you know, like you think, you know, like the first thing, like sometimes it's just like you'll see something, you'll hear something, you'll speak to someone and there'll just be this little fucked up thought that pops up in your head and you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Like,
mate.
Was I born in like the 1800s? What the fuck?
You're fucking right. I've got it ingrained in me. It's a split second, but you see a black dude in a flash car and your brain goes drug dealer and you go, what the fuck? Why have you done that?
Yeah,
I know. And that's because of all the shit that's been pumped into you. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just all that shit like that. And like, that's like, and people are so scared to say that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, and I think that's the best way to like actually deal with these things and actually go like actually make some sort of work on them is look inwardly and be like, what do you think? Like what fucked up stuff do you think? And how can you talk to other people about that? And be like, oh, it's fucking mental that we just think that, innit?
Yeah.
Like it's awful, but like it's come from somewhere.
Yes.
And obviously someone wanted that to happen. Like, you know, that benefits people. That you know, and like, and then once you start unpacking that a bit, you're like, oh no, I shouldn't just tell people to like not be racist because that doesn't really work, or not be transphobic. Mm. You have to like look in and be like, what do I think and where does it come from for me, and like how do I jump from that fucked up thought to the one where I just act like normal and treat people like people.
That's why I like doing this. Like I say, I've been able to have some really good conversations with people and go, I've actually been able to get these things out and go, look, this is in me, what do I do with it? Like this is what I grew up. I'm not I don't want to offend anyone or upset anyone, but I've had this in me for whatever reason. I don't know where it came from, but it's in me now. And it's like we're talking to Jordan about this, and it's like, you know, she's a trans woman. And I was saying to Jordan, I'm like, we've been sat, and I'm like, I have feelings for Jordan, and it was, and I'm like, but I don't know how to talk about them, because of all the old bollocks that's been pumped into me. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I find you attractive, Jordan, but I've got this old fucking shit in me that's going, yeah, but it's got a cock, and it's all that, all these like split second thoughts pinging off.
Yeah, and then you know. also that other way, like the complete like fetishization of like trans women.
Yes.
And that you know, like that whole, like, do you know what I mean? I grew up like watching like documentaries about blokes going to Thailand, like, to find a trans Thai wife with my dad when I was like 13. Like just on Channel 4, do you know what I mean? Let's just have like, a family get together. Let's just like, let's just watch this weird old bloke from the Midlands go and, you know, fucking sleep with someone with a penis that he feels okay about sleeping with.
Like, oh, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall that night. Yeah. Oh, look at that. That's unusual. Full of biscuit.
It's so funny, like, but like that was just like normal entertainment. Like these people were so odd that they find trans women attractive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it is weird. Like, I definitely think that, you know, like having attraction to trans women when I was like, when I sort of found out that I had that when I was a teenager, that like that really fucked me up for a bit.
Yeah, right.
Because I was like, oh, I was pretty sure I was bi and everything when I was like 14, 13. And I was just like, oh, that's all right. Would shag men, would shag women, yeah, fine. Mm. And then I was just like, and like, obviously the first place I ever saw a trans person was on, like, I don't know if it was Pornhub at the time, but right. It was porn, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, look, what are these fucking sexual beings? And that's all that they were to me at that time.
Yeah.
In my head, I was a teenager, do you know what I mean? And like, it's really fucked up that I had such a weird feeling about that. It like that sort of made me feel like I was like not a good person, which is just fucking terrible.
Yeah,
it's just awful. But you know, it took probably, you know, I mean, I don't even know if I've really ever said that out loud that much before. Like,
yeah,
it's just funny. Like, you just don't really. It's something I'm thinking about a lot at the moment. I'm doing a bit of work on it, but
right.
Like, it's just, yeah, like that whole thing of like having like your like men, straight men being attracted to people who are women and then having a massive fucking crisis about it.
Because society has put shit on you.
Yeah. And it's that thing, and it like, it is that first thought of like, you know, and all of this stuff just comes down to our own insecurity, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
We're just worried about shit all the time and who we are and what are things that we do, who does that make us,
how are we going to be perceived? What does that mean?
For who we are. And who the fuck are we worried about?
Like, who is this person? This thing that we're judging ourselves against.
It's weird. It's not Neighbourhood Watch, is it? I don't know. Like, I just...
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, because I definitely have it. And I'm like, where the fuck do we get all this shame from? Like,
yeah,
but anything, I don't know. It's like, it's the hardest thing to unlearn shame, though, isn't it?
Oh, like, yeah. And this is once it's in you. Oh, God. I had, it's funny. I've had conversations with Jade, and because it's been a couple of times, and I've gone, well, you're bisexual then. The things she said, and she's like, well, I'm not. She goes, I'm in a loving relationship with you. That means I'm straight. Mm. And I went, ah, right. So if you weren't in this relationship with me, and then maybe you would be in a relationship with a woman. And we had that conversation, and then she kind of shut it down. I didn't know where it was going, but...
It's really interesting. That thing was like, that particular conversation was like really liberating for me. I had it with a friend of mine who I made the short film with, actually, about the Factory Talk. So we made that together. But... kind of, she was just really, Lucy, she was really, really helpful in terms of my development, in terms of like being able to actually kind of find who I was and stuff, and work out that I actually was who I thought I was. Because I think when we first spoke, I was maybe like 25, so this is only a few years ago.
Yeah.
26 maybe, so I'm 28 now. But like, we had this conversation where I was like, oh, because, you know, I'm with my partner and she's a woman. I'm like, this is kind of the life I've chose. We're like steady. We're together. We've been together a long time.
Mm.
Like, that's it. So I'm not really this thing or whatever. And she was like, well, what the fuck are you on about? Yeah, you are. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, she was like, you still are that person. Like,
yeah.
She's like, your relationship doesn't erase who you are. And I was like, oh, fuck me. She was like, you're actually in a queer relationship, Chris. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, like, you're queer. That's how you identify. So by proxy, you're a queer person in a relationship. That, you know, that's sort of, okay, you know, that's what it makes that. And like, that's obviously just her opinion on But like, and everyone can have all their like sort of different thoughts about that. But that really made sense to me. And that was like, fuck yeah, I can just be who I am, even though
regardless,
I'm doing this thing. Because I always felt like I chose the easy way out. That's definitely how I thought about it. Which is weird, because obviously I love my partner.
As I say, Well, that's it. Look, you fall in love with somebody, and the gender and that is irrelevant. You know, you fell in love with that person. Yeah, it just so happened that, you know, she's a woman, and that's it. It's not. It could have been a guy that you fell in love with in that respect, or whatever, whoever.
Exactly, and everyone else in between for sure. And I just think, like it's. It's funny what we put on ourselves and how we define it all. And I think, you know, like, you know, it's not anyone's place to say what's the right or wrong way of doing it, but doing that. But what is important is to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
If we'd never had that conversation, I don't know where I would be with it now. I don't know if I'd be in a, like, you know, the confident place that I am with it, where I can talk to anyone about it and not really give a shit about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I just sort of felt like I shouldn't talk about it before, because, I was with a woman, so people would be like, what the fuck's he on about? Shut up, mate. But actually, it's actually a really useful way of just talking to, like, particularly, like, you know, men about lots of different things. Like, it's just, I think there's a way that they sort of see it, especially like shows and stuff. I like doing shows, and at the end of a gig or whatever, often I'll get sort of the bloke sort of being like, all right, mate, yeah, that was good. Didn't relate to all of it, but yeah, I liked it. And you're just like, okay, I get what you're trying to tell me here, that you're not queer, but you appreciated some of the stuff I said, which is really, really nice. And I really like those moments. Those are the ones that feel like the most important. But it's interesting, like, I get a lot of work from talking about queerness. That's what people seem to be interested in. But actually, for me, like, I actually sort of, like, I really enjoy delving into masculinity and class, like, more in a way, and how those intersect a little bit. But it's funny, isn't it? Like, people like that part a lot, and they like to talk about that.
I think, but, like you say, because most people have thoughts and feelings that they're not sure about and don't know how to talk about. So then when someone like you comes along and he's talking about these things, you know, they're like, oh, there's a person I can connect with and have that conversation with, where I won't feel, you know, I won't feel too exposed. This is someone I connect with on that level. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Definitely.
I think it is. Yeah.
I think it can be like, I think any like performance thing is like that though, right? Like you definitely must get that as well.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
And it's just, I think almost, I don't know, maybe in, I think because poetry can get away with being very serious and sort of very, like, you know, intense sometimes. I think that in a way it sort of does itself a disservice sometimes, because it makes it all a bit tense and all a bit serious. So it's actually harder to have those conversations after with people who wouldn't normally have them with you.
Yes.
So I definitely, you know, there's definitely an echo chamber in that sort of art. Like, you know, oh, we're all ready to talk about our feelings, so let's talk about them some more. Like, it's like that. I don't see the use in that. So I think, you know, like, I find it interesting when I get to do work in front of different audiences, and I get to talk to slightly different people. Like I did a show with Sleaford Mods recently, which was
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I fucking love them, and it was just mad, because they just messaged me and was like, do you want to come on board? And
fucking brilliant. Yeah, sick. I love Sleaford Mods. But it's funny, you mentioned in working class, you mentioned poetry. Those two things, even now, you know what I mean? It's even now, we do, it's, you know, it's spoken word, and, it, you know, there are fewer class barriers with it. But again, when I was growing up, you weren't into poetry if you were working class.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
you know, yeah, you had people like Sean Ryder, Jason, like from Sleaford Mods, but like, that's definitely, you know, this is poetry.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's the thing, like, I got into writing through being in bands.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I definitely, when I was first writing lyrics, I didn't think it was poetry. and I definitely would have been put off if I thought it was. Like, I was just writing music for fucking, like, punk bands. That's what I was doing, you know? Like, that's, and that's the way I got into doing it. And that's the stuff I sort of, that really connected with me, because that is the sort of version in it. That's the realm in which you can express yourself as a working class person through music.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Like, and it's sort of accepted, and definitely, like, it took me a long time to square away the fact that, like, being a poet isn't just really cunty.
Yeah.
it just feels pretentious in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. And I just tried to make sure that, you don't sort of just write for people that like that stuff. You write for everybody, and like, or people like you. Not, you can't write for everybody, but you know, like,
yeah,
I'm sort of mean, like, the, like, I don't, you know, it's, I mean, it's a, probably a very bad, like, economic decision to not write poetry that people that like poetry will like, but I definitely like,
but you write what speaks to you. You write what, what you want to, like, you know, what's in your heart. That's,
yeah, and I definitely get that there's more people that don't like my favorite compliment that I get like semi-regularly is that I don't like poetry at all, mate, but yours is okay. Like, that's like,
I love that one. Yeah.
That's the best one.
That's the best one.
Like, I hate what you do, but your version of it is actually palatable.
And then you go, well, there's loads of people doing this. This is, if you just open your eyes, mate, or get into, don't be so scared of it.
Yeah,
there's a whole world out there.
But there's not that many ways in, I think.
No.
Even as someone who does it, like, people tell me all the time, oh, have you heard this person? Have you heard this person? I'm like, no, I've got a full-time job. I've got too much fucking stuff to do.
A lot of life, like, going on, yeah.
Yeah, I can't just sit around, like, Googling specific things and looking at related stuff. But I don't know. I also don't know how people find, like, the people they find. I think it is just, like, some people are definitely, like, those people that just know about that new thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just know that new thing. And I've just, like, yeah, I don't know. I've never really been like that. But I do think those, it's quite hard to get into the pattern of, like, finding out about new stuff.
Sure. Well, if you don't know to look, you're not going to go looking for it. The only reason I know a lot about, I know a lot of spoken word people that do spoken word, is I used to do a show called Stand Up and Slam, and it was comedians versus poets, you know, like a rap battle type affair. And we used to just rip the shit out of each other. It was really good fun. But through that, I got to find out that there's a whole world of spoken word artists out there doing incredible stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and like people like Rob Orton and people like that. Where the fuck were these people? You know, all I knew was John Cooper Clarke, John Hegley and Roger McGough. You know, that was it.
Yeah.
And there's this world out there.
I'm still about at that point, to be honest, mate, with them three.
Kate Tempest. Nah,
yeah, that's it. But I don't know. Like, I'm sort of the way with it. Like, there's loads of poets that I do really love, but I just it's funny. I'm way more into, like, because I do it, I think it puts me off, like, really delving into it, which maybe sounds really stupid, but, like, I can't switch off if I watch it or listen to it or read it. I'm, like, analysing it, and I'm,
in that
work mode. Yeah, you sort of spoil it for yourself, don't you?
Yeah, well, you're watching it and you're like, these are one of the best comedians I've ever seen, but I'm not laughing once because I'm too busy going, oh, yeah, that's a guy, oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the mechanics. Oh, yeah, did he get from that bit to that bit? And, oh, she was great, but she started there and she ended there. And you're like, by the time it's finished, you're like, oh, shit, I've ruined it for myself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. But I sort of wish I could go back to those first moments where I went and saw stuff and was like, fucking hell, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I definitely just, like, have to, like, chill out watching stuff that I would never be, you know, it's just a different sort of realm to me. So I'm not sat there being like, oh, what could I do with this?
Yeah,
I think that's
how you get ideas as well, isn't it? When you start, because I know there's comedians that all they do is gig, all they do is watch comedy, all they do is read the forums, all they know, it's just comedy, comedy, comedy. And you go, you've got nothing to talk about. I've heard half your stuff. And you're like, I was on the train, I was on the bus. And you're like, get out there and do something. Go and do some stuff, and then you'll have something to talk about. What I definitely like about you as well, and I think this is where people have a problem too. This is like I said earlier, when I say, when I'm in a conversation with people and they're like, what's your team? What's your fucking team? And when I turn around and go, I don't really follow football, to be honest. That's the end of the conversation. People want to pigeonhole you, don't they? They want to that's where you go. That's, if you go in that box, that makes me comfortable. And looking at you, looking at you, listening to you, and then seeing what you talk about and stuff like that, it's very difficult to put you in one place. And I mean that as a compliment. It's a wonderful thing. And that's where a lot of people will probably struggle, because they're like, where can I put you? Because you don't really, you look like that, but you sound like that, and you talk like that, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm a fucking Venn diagram.
I love it, mate. We should all be Venn diagrams.
I don't know if there's any, for me, there's just no other way to be. Like, I'm just interested in lots of stuff, and it is funny. I couldn't be any other way.
No, you're just being you, that's lovely.
And I quite like seeing how people react to it as well.
Yeah, and it makes other people go, I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna wear a fuchsia jacket. I'm gonna do that. You know, just anything on that level, anything different from navy blue.
Yeah, anything but navy blue, or all navy blue, because people don't do that anymore, which is funny.
Yeah.
I think it's just got to try and be a bit of fun with it, innit? Like, I really love football, and like, I really like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a footballer,
right?
You know, that's what I wanted to do. But you know, I just really like burgers as well. So
no. I love a good burger.
It was never going to happen. But
I feel guilty that I don't like football. I've really tried.
I think it just don't matter though, does it? Like,
no,
why
do I feel guilty? You too.
Because often my mates that hate football ask me, like, oh, Chris, what shall I say in a football conversation? Like, like stag do's are funny. Like, for that, because like, when you like go to a stag do or whatever, for me, I'm like, when I turn up, like, say, they definitely are expecting something that I'm not, for sure,
right?
Like, every time, like, so, like, shaved head, beard, do you know what I mean? I might be wearing, like, I might look like a skinhead that day, braces and all that sort of stuff. So they're expecting this one thing, and then I'm like there, and like, I can get away with that kind of camouflage for like a good 2 hours. Like,
right,
I like chatting about just blokey stuff, because I like blokey stuff, you know. It. But then, like, it might go on to work or whatever, or what I've been up to or whatever, and I'll be like, oh yeah, just, you know, I did a set at a drag show the other night, and then there's just this whole conversation about that, and like, where. But what I've just, it took me a while to do this, but what I've just done recently is just drop it in a bit quicker, just like really nonchalant, and just been like, right, that's just it there. And people just, you know, they sort of have to get on with it, don't they?
No, it's great. I know what you mean. It's that, I always, I don't follow football, or if I feel like, oh no, if I say that, I'm going to be ostracised immediately. So I'll go, oh, Palace, I'm a Palace fan. Because that's where I'm from. And they kind of go, oh, because I said Palace and not Crystal Palace.
All right, yeah, so they know you're into
it. Palace fan. He said Palace.
He doesn't need to say the whole name, so it definitely
Palace, that's fine.
I love giving people little tips of just football stuff to say. Like, I was talking to my mate, like, I think it was a few months ago or whatever, and he was just like, what do you say when people just talk about football? And he was like, he told me this story about his mate just telling him once to just be like, oh, Tottenham are going to surprise people this year. Just say that every time. And it works. Like the other one that we were talking about, I was like, you just got to say Arsenal are just always Arsenal, aren't they? That's the problem with them. They're just always Arsenal. And like...
It's so true.
It just works. You can just bullshit your way for it. Like, I definitely get out of my depth with football conversations because I love it. But like, I got too much going on to like proper like, listen to all the podcasts and all that shit. You know, when people get like, when it's their life. Like, I worked with a lad once doing nights at Wilkinson's, and he would go to every single game, home and away, of our hometown, who were in like the Evo Stick Premier League or whatever.
Yeah.
And he fucking knew everything about them. And I used to go a little bit, but never enough to like actually, you know, I wouldn't know where the top scorer was or anything like that. I wouldn't follow it like that, much. But he would just know everything, but that's the only thing he ever did. So, like, he was quite easy to get out of the conversation because you can just ask him about anything else.
Right.
Like, at all. Just be like, oh, what did you get up to on the weekend? Oh, football. Oh, football. Oh, what did you do after football? Oh, I had my tea. And then you're like, all right, okay. So, yeah.
But it's that, like I say, when I go Palace, there's an underlying, you get that, there's an unspoken respect because you haven't gone top end, you've gone Palace. And then you can say something like, what they'll normally do is almost like a sympathy thing. They'll go, they're doing all right at the moment, aren't they? And you go, yeah, but you never know. And that's it.
That's good. And also with that, you can sort of play it off as if you don't want to talk about it because you're a bit sad about it, really.
Isn't it fucking mad? It's mad. All this fucking bollocks we have to go through.
It's just, just to be able to talk to each other about things. I think
this
is a thing, like, I don't know, like, there's something weird that you only get it with blokes, but, like, there's a moment where you're sat with someone. I mean, it can even be your dad, do you know what I mean? And you run out of things to say, and you're like, oh, fucking hell.
Mm.
Like, what are we going to say now? What are we going to say? Like, this, we fucked it. We've run out of stuff to say. We've done all the normal bloke stuff to say.
Yeah.
And now we've run out. And I'm just, it's funny. I always wonder, and I'd like to know how you think about this, like, in that silence, in that moment, like, especially like with, like with your sons and stuff, like, because I get this moment sometimes where I'll be in the car with my dad chatting away, and then suddenly the silence will fall off. It just comes, and I'm like, right, okay, conversation's fallen off, silence is there, that's it. And I'm like, fuck me, this is awkward. Like, literally known you for, like, the longest of anyone. And it's still awkward because we're blokes for some reason.
Yeah.
Do you get that? Like, it's weird.
I'm lucky that the relationship I have with my dad is always music based because we used to go and see bands a lot when I was a teenager. It's thanks to him that I found out about punk and reggae and ska and that sort of thing. Nice. So the conversation will always fall back to music. It'll always go back to, I see Dylan's got a new album out or some shit like that. My youngest son has just gone to BIM in Bristol.
So they both
live in Bristol, actually. Actually, you and I might be neighbours very soon, but I'll talk to you about that later.
Ooh.
Yeah. and so, music is the one thing with everybody I know that keeps the conversation flowing. It's always about music, yeah.
Yeah, you do need something to string it through like that. Because, I don't know, just with your mum and that, it's just easy to just, like, you can just be like, oh, so what do you think of, you know, this? And it can be anything, and you can talk about it. What my nan loves doing is just pointing out, like, just shop names and being like, oh, there's a Debenhams here now. And I'm like, man, it's always been there. Oh, they've got this, they've got that. And you're like, we know. Like, but we can talk about it for hours. It's great.
My mum's the same. She'll go back to old stuff that I did when I was a kid, and she's like, well, you know, if you'd have just pushed yourself at school, you know, if I'd have pushed myself at school, I'd be in a bank or some shit job I don't want to do. As it was, I fucked about and now I do this.
Which is great.
Yeah, I love this. But I tell you what, a lot of my fear, as we've been talking, I was thinking about this, a lot of my fear about these conversations, talking about pronouns, talking about gender and things like that, my fears and insecurities that get in my way is that fear of sounding like an old dinosaur. That's what I'm like, fucking hell, do I sound like Parkinson now? Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm trying to ask about these things, but because I don't know how to ask about them, I'm like, I just sound like an old prick at a bus stop now. Just shoot me in the fucking head.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like that about stuff as well, to be honest. When you just don't know, I think it's just, just that fear of just sounding like you're fucking going on about something you don't know.
No
one wants that.
And this is, I don't know if that's a working class thing or a class thing or just a bloke thing.
I do think that whole thing of like having like confidence to ask things is definitely like a bit of a class thing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I think working class people just pretend they know everything. It's easier than asking, isn't it? Because you don't want to let on you don't know, especially like in art spaces and stuff. Like,
right?
I like definitely for me, like when I did a random app for Channel 4, and I went to like a networking thing for it at the ICA in London, and that was all just mental for me, like that was even a thing at the time. So I was like, this is just fucking mad. So I went there and they had like these tiny little fucking steaks on like a big platter, like the smallest steaks you've ever seen. I don't really understand it at all still, but anyway, I had like six to make a normal size one. But everyone's there like talking about these like Russian authors and shit like that. And I'm just there like just bullshitting it, like a bit like with the football. Like I'm there just being like, yeah, just blagging it. And just like I ended up just like fucking lying and saying I knew some authors, like doing a fake critique of them and all this shit, way out of my depth, being like, fuck me, why did I get into this? But I definitely think I just didn't want to be like, I don't know what you're talking about, and you probably already think I'm not supposed to be here. So
yeah,
like, it's weird. Mate, that access to space is funny. So I think I get what you're saying about the whole, when you get in those conversations, I do think that it's like a, if it does feel like a conversation for a certain type of person, I think even for me, I feel like, you know, like going to like queer spaces and events, which are like really middle class. I notice them and I don't feel very comfortable. I'm like, it's weird, very odd.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a thing, like there's a confidence you get with like not having to worry about paying rent.
Yes, like, that's exactly what it is. It's the confidence like, of not having to worry. You've never had to worry about money.
Exactly. And like that thing where you're like, you know, you're buying a pint or whatever and they say $5.50 and you're like, oh, fuck me, Jesus Christ. Mm. Like, but you can't show that on your face when you're with someone who hasn't flinched at the price.
You've got to be steely, mate. You've got to be steely.
You've got to be like, oh, yeah, $5.50, that's fine. Do you want one as well? Yeah.
I'll get these. Fuck me, it's going to be 40 quid.
Yeah, and you're like, I hope I get some fucking work out of this. Like,
it's got to be fucking worth it, yeah.
But it's funny, isn't it? I do think that's the whole thing, that there's never going to be a point where I don't obsess over money. And I think, you know, my family's always been all right, but there's always been that, you know, that thing on the, my dad's always had to do whatever job has come and that's it. Like, it's worked in a factory like 20 years. And, you know, there's that whole thing of like, even now, like he's still got to do a job he doesn't really like just to keep everything going.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just it. That's just what his life is. And, you know, I really respect that he can do that. I think people don't give working class people quite the respect they deserve for fucking slogging it and shit they hate.
And they just do it. I know, growing up, it was just like, get a job. It was like, well, what doing? It doesn't matter. You get a job.
Yeah.
Get a job and you make sure you get yourself a nice house and you meet a lovely lady. A lady. Yeah. And then you're going to have kids and that's going to be your life. That fear of being skint. Even now, I'm terrible because of the way things have been. So lost a lot of work, but... I'm so depressed when I haven't got any money, or the worry of not having it, or when I've got it, I'm like, oh, it's going to go again, isn't it? And it does weigh heavy.
It's really fucking weird. The time where I sort of first was like, I don't know, like where I was like, I'm doing all right now, was when I still work a full-time job around all the other stuff. And, when I started getting paid regularly for the arty shit, it felt really mental because I had all this like extra bit, like, and I sort of was just like, it felt weird having this bit of extra money and, but it felt like I just sort of saved it because I was just like, fuck me, I don't really know what to do with this, because I was so sort of used to just going like paycheck to paycheck and stuff,
we didn't have extra money.
It's weird, and like that was definitely the way that I sort of explained to my family like what I do isn't just fucking about. Like people pay me real money to do that, so
my mum still can't get her head around it. She admires it and loves it, but she's like, are you getting any money? I go, can't get her head around it.
It is weird, isn't it, because you don't like punch in and all that shit. That's just how, because, you know, like, you're right about the whole thing of like how your life course should go. Like, working, being working class in entertainments or arts or whatever is weird, because your idea of what a life should be is really quite planned out. And I don't think it's really changed that much from like when you were growing up to when I have. Not really,
like, no.
Like, not in those, you know, like, not in those like real working class communities. I think it's like, you still, I definitely still had that. I was like, I went to uni because I was like, I don't know, just everyone at college said I should, basically. They were like, oh, you're quite clever, so you should probably go to uni. And I honestly was like, I quite like this subject. I did sociology and I was like, quite like this, so I'll just do it a bit longer.
Right.
And I get to leave Hereford and go to a big city. I chose Leicester, mental. But I didn't want something too big. I didn't want to be able to. But yeah, I like, it was, for me, it was a way to just move out. And I was like, someone's going to give me a loan to live. Like, I couldn't get my head around it. Obviously, I owe that all now. I didn't really think about it that well. But yeah, well, like,
right. You don't care at the time.
No, I don't care now. It's what it's just a number, isn't it?
It is. Cares. Yeah, yeah.
But that's that. Yeah, that thing for me was definitely like, just get out, just do something different. Like, because otherwise you will just get a job. And at that point, I'd already worked in a call center, a factory, and a supermarket. So I was a bit like, it was really important doing those jobs, because it gave me, you know, like, it sort of gave me a different sort of work ethic. I didn't really work that hard all the time when I was there, because it just is a bit like, you're sort of like, unless you really have to, you're like, fuck it, no one gives a shit. So yeah, let's just get on with it. But it's given me like a different work ethic now, because I'm like, thank fuck I don't have to do that.
Yeah,
like, I have so much respect for people that do that stuff. My mum's a cleaner. I'm like, I couldn't fucking do that. And like, it's just such hard work and people just don't have any like respect for it. So I'm like, I feel really lucky that I like have, you know, a day job that I like.
Yeah.
Running a shop and like, yeah. And I get to do other bits that I like, but yeah, it's just like that whole sort of thing of all that vitriol around like people doing like, you know, those jobs. It's just really weird, because it is there. Like,
yeah,
it's come out of loads over this time as well, with like the old, like, you know, everyone sort of freaking the fuck out in the pandemic and just being like, what's important, who's a key worker, all this stuff. Like, and that, did you, I don't know if you, like, Owen Jones was talking a bit about how people were going on about, well, he got into some argument on Twitter, of course, with some people having a go, just moaning about the fact their cleaners weren't able to come over in lockdown.
Yeah, right.
Like, and I'm like, what the fuck do you need a cleaner for in lockdown? Like, what are you doing? Like,
what the fuck are you up to? Yeah,
like, can you not, like, do you know where your Hoover is? Like, what, like, I honestly, fuck me, it's mental, isn't it? But all that came out of that was just like, this is complete disregard for the fact that cleaners are actually humans.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, fuck them, I just need my beds made. Like, I don't care that it's like, you know, that they're at massive risk.
Yeah.
Like, and they're all fucking, all of them are working class women, and like a lot of them are like, you know, from ethnic minority backgrounds and stuff like that. Yeah. So more fucking like more at risk from like, you know.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah, that's what they were saying. That's what we were saying in the news. It was like, yeah, ethnic minorities are more, there's more cases of COVID and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, because they're doing the fucking work and you're sitting at home wondering why your bed's not made.
Yeah.
Fucking wanker.
I know. I just don't know what's wrong. Like, the audacity that people have to be like, I'm upset that my cleaner hasn't come round for 3 weeks. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Honestly. Like,
listen, Jemima, put your fucking gloves on.
Yeah, like, you can play at it for 6 weeks and, you know what I mean? It'll be a bit of fun. Like,
yeah.
For you, you can fucking put it back down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I enjoyed that, but I don't want to do it again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like like, you know, like hobbyist gardeners or whatever, and then people who are actually gardeners and that stuff. Like, just imagine hobbyist cleaners. That'd be great.
Imagine like, that. That's going to be the next thing. Let's do it.
Yeah.
extreme cleaning.
Yeah, mad.
Chris, mate, this has been fucking brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. I knew you'd be great. I knew this was going to be a good chat. Where can we find you?
So the best place is probably my Instagram.
Okay.
Can link out through there, because I've got the little link in LinkedIn? No, what am I talking about? The, you know, the Linktree thing.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah, Linktree. So yeah, that's where all my stuff is, really, through the Instagram. That's the easiest place. But if you don't use Instagram, then I am on Twitter and on Facebook as well, which I'll post pretty much everything on too. So
brilliant.
Yeah, you can get everything there.
Fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I enjoyed
your
piece.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I enjoyed your piece for Voice magazine. I read that.
Oh,
yeah.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, good,
amazing.
Man. Yeah,
yeah.
I love what
you
do,
you.
And please keep doing it, because it's, as we've already said, it's needed. More people, more working class people need to know that, you know, there is a place for them in these,
yeah,
in
absolutely.
These, you know, these strange times. Yeah, all these, you know, you're not alone. We love you.
No, yeah, know. No, and absolutely. And thank you for having me, and thanks for doing what you do as well, because it definitely, you know, it definitely makes more people feel like they've got a place, and I think that's very important.
Chris, this has been great. And you're a spoken word artist. Would you say you're a spoken word or you're a poet? Or are they one of the same?
To me, both the same. I normally say poet, but more to annoy people that think I'm not a poet, because I mostly do it spoken.
Yeah, right. And have you got a piece for us? Because I think that's what we should finish on.
All right, cool. Yeah, no. Yeah, I have. Yeah, let's do this one, because it's a bit about what we've been talking about, I suppose, a little
nice.
Bit. So, yeah. Cool, it's called Carry a Bag. I think he looks like a cowboy, made of sinews and beans, halfway to flash bastard, sharp shirt underneath car boot cardigans. He keeps his promises, his days and times. People commend him on it. Dad says he doesn't trust him. Every other Wednesday he comes with choc dips, tangy toms and panda pops. Not sweets I particularly like. He doesn't think to ask. Mum says it's rude if I say. He just brings a carrier bag full. Announces himself a deliverer of treats, not a visitor of me. Reasons defined and matter of fact. Mum says it's still good he makes the effort. I usually sit and wait. A full kit wanker on a floral settee. Ears pricked under bowl cut, leather soles on concrete slabs, a small frame weighed down by the love in his carrier bag. Tangible affection, wrapped in bright vivid colours, packets printed with RRPs, twos of things that are buy one get one free. He had earned the title over years, the only one I ever had for him in birthday and Christmas cards. When I talk to Nan about it, she says I can still call him that if I want. This time he brings wagon wheels. They feel softer than they should, probably out of date and on offer. I eat them all the same. He drinks tea made in a kettle that he bought for their wedding. When he says goodbye to us, we do not know it's the last time. He exits our small house, unburdened by the sugared weight, leaving me to burn it off. Cheers.
Mate, oh my God. That is next level.
Thank you very much.
Fuck, man. That was brilliant. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. Dude, really appreciate it.
That was, I could fucking see it. I could feel it. Fuck me. I fucking love that shit. Right. I'm going to dig deep into your stuff. Thank you, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure.
It's been lovely to talk to you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.